Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have done. has given his son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Oh,
almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is from the prophet Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. The epistle lesson is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you.
when they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw cloaks over it, he sat upon it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is our text, dear friends in Christ. This past Thursday was the day of the year on which the Lutheran Church remembered and thanked God for not only the memories of, but the talents of, the life and the work of the great Lutheran composer Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach was a musical genius. Some would argue that he was the greatest musical genius of the ages. As a feature article of a 1968 Time magazine, which, by the way, pictured Bach on its cover, which is an unusual thing to do, but the author of the particular article at length said, quote, "Because so much of his work was intended to be used in worship, he has traditionally been known as the fifth evangelist, pealing out a musical gospel from some celestial organ loft." And we can certainly think of his famous St. Matthew's Passion or the St. John Passion, both which are very popular at this time of the year, sung around the world, heard by hundreds of thousands and sung by thousands as well. And yet his musical message sounded well beyond sanctuary doors and the churches. As the author's article wrote, "A crystalline logic underlies all of Bach's work, which is one reason why he is so often the favorite composer of mathematicians and scientists, because of the logic of his work. His mathematical musical genius literally was evident in one of the most famous pieces, perhaps, that he wrote, composed, entitled Canon for Contrary Motion. It's also known as the Crab Canon, because just as crabs can walk forward or walk backward or even sideways, so also with this particular composition by Bach, it could be played forward and backward and laid upon one or the other, and it makes beautiful sense, unbelievable sense, amazing sense, orderly sense. And so one hears it and one wonders, is what I'm hearing the beginning of it, or is it the end? Is it the prelude or is it the postlude? I would suppose that the residents of Jerusalem faced that same sort of dilemma with Jesus when they saw him on that first Palm Sunday. What's really going on here? Which way do you put the music? Do you put it this way or that way? Is this the beginning of Jesus or is this the end of him? Is it the beginning of things for him or is it the end of it all? For him and for us. And it would indeed be a week that was conflicted with all sorts of confusing, seemingly contradictory music. From the little children approaching the temple and singing this, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to the contradictory sound of the Pharisees, the condemnations of the Pharisees that were being bellicosely shouted out against the children trying to silence them. Or the beautiful liturgical psalms and hymns of the temple courts and the Passover, over against the discordant cries for death, for crucifixion that was being shouted out outside of Pilate's hall. And what about our Lord's own painful rendition of Psalm 22 from the cross, where he begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then ends with it, his completion. It's finished. Death's dirge. A cacophony of sound, discordant sounds, dissonant sounds, some holy, some during that week diabolical. Talk about mixed messages coming from those most important places in this most important week of all of human history. So many different voices, it seems, that it's hard to distinguish the hosannas and the hallelujahs from the weeping and from the wailing that takes place in these days to come. Such a combination of incongruous things. What's it supposed to be? On the one hand, you've got a crowd that's throwing out palm branches before him, a sign of submission. And yet, on the other hand, he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a humble beast of burden. Which is it? Is it a crown of glory for him, or is it a cross of shame that he's going to experience in the days to come? Well, to some, it was obviously a prelude to his glory, because they spread all of those clothes upon the road and they wave palm branches in the air. Citizens from Jerusalem, suburb of Bethany, where Lazarus had been raised from the dead, to another suburb of Jerusalem called Bethphage, a suburb of Jerusalem that got a lot of overflow businesses in the sacred season of Passover. They quadrupled inside these little towns. The population of Jerusalem itself quadrupled to over 100,000, it said, during the week of Passover. 100,000 people sacrificing 10,000 lambs. What was it? Sort of a crab cannon type of ceremony, not only looking back to the miraculous events of the Exodus from Egypt, as the Israelites had smeared blood upon their doorposts, the blood of lambs without blemish and without spot. All of that came before, but it all anticipated what was to come, the coming of the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of all the world. Can't you see them in your mind's eye? Men, women, children running from their homes and pilgrim shelters to that procession that's drawing closer and closer to the holy city, to great Jerusalem, the great gates by which the pilgrims entered into the holy city, those gates in which would be chanted the 108th psalm that we chanted in part this morning. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, O Lord, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. Yes, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then the psalmist says, Hosanna. Save now, I pray, O Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All of that's wrapped up in that Palm Sunday chorus that was being sung by the pilgrims waving palm branches before the Lord. And surely those pilgrims didn't grasp the tragic detail with which those words would be played out in the days of the week to come. Christ's suffering, his crucifixion. And to be sure, many of them, in the desperate enthusiasm of the moment, even misinterpreted Jesus to be some sort of a political messiah who would free them from Roman rule. The vast majority of Zion's zealots, and they were certainly there, and the vast majority of Passover pilgrims perhaps thought that that's what Jesus had come to do. But make no mistake about it, Jesus didn't think that. Not for a moment did he think that. Jesus knew that that wasn't what he had come to do. He knew what he had come to do. He would not be a messianic activist for the political zealots of the day any more than he would be a political activist in our day, as some would have him be. He wouldn't be the subject of the entertainment-driven King Herod of his day, and he will not be the subject of entertainment-driven agendas in our day. He would not be the philosophic sparring partner of Pontius Pilate, who asked him, "What is truth?" And he will not spar with 21st century skeptics who reject out of hand the word of truth that he has given us, Scripture, which he said cannot be broken. He would not be manipulated by the self-righteous high priests or by the work-righteous Pharisees. And he won't be manipulated by the pietistic or by the legalistic religious kingpins of our day either. You see, God enthroned in heaven had become man on earth on a donkey. Even as our introit taught us, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to Jerusalem to do battle. To do battle. Not with regional kings like Herod, not with provisional governors like Pilate, not even with world emperors like Caesar. These were but pawns that were being unwittingly moved about at the hand of the arch enemy of God and man, by the hand of the Prince of Darkness, of whom Luther wrote when he wrote what we sang the first Sunday of this Lenten season: "The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guiled, great might are his dread arms, and fight on earth is not his equal." That's the one with whom Jesus would do battle. As the Psalm Sunday says, the Lord, strong in battle and mighty, had come to do battle. Or as Luther writes, "But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth, Lord. There is none other God. He holds the field forever." The Lord had come to Jerusalem to do battle. And not with 12 legions of angels at his side, which he said in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was being arrested that he could have called down to his aid. No, as we'll sing as the last service, last hymn for the day, right on in majesty, the winged squadrons of the sky, the angels looked down with sad and wondering eyes to see the approaching sacrifice. They were still where God had called them to be. They weren't at his aid there. The victory would indeed be won through blood shed in this battle, but not the blood of sinners. Victory would come only through the divine blood of the sinless Son of God, blood being shed for the sins of all the world. The Son of God knew exactly what he had to do. There had to be blood shed, because Scripture made it so clear. It wasn't simply the blood of 10,000 lambs that would do. That was never enough to pay for the sins of even one man, let alone the sins of all of mankind. Blood to be shed, for as Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood to be shed because there were sins to be forgiven. He knew which way the score was written. He knew what he had come to do. He knew exactly what he had to do to make those hosannas of the psalmist come true. To save now the psalmist who wrote of him, to save now the pilgrims who sang of him, to save now all who by God's grace had ever heard or would ever own him as their Savior and Lord. And that includes me and you. He knew what he had to do because he had absolute confidence in the accuracy of the prophetic score that was laid out right before him. The prophecy of Zechariah that you heard earlier, the Old Testament reading, 500 years plus before our Lord, the prophet of the Lord, who said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's righteous, and he's having salvation. He's humble, and he's mounted on a donkey." He's mounted on a donkey. What a historic burden that little donkey bore. And what an honor it was for that donkey to bear it. Of that little donkey, the poet Philip Rosenbaum writes, "Unaccustomed to her burden, she knows not that never a beast bore such a man as this, who meekly rides to his appointed lot a crown of thorns and a betrayer's kiss. And never man will carry such a weight as he bears now in this his day of power, ascending toward a straight and narrow gate, his agonizing last and his final hour. She bravely struggles on, despite her fear of cheering men whom he gravely views as an admiral watching distant storms draw near to lash bright waves to dark and deadly hues. He knows the death decreed in the ancient Psalms, the tree that looms beyond these scattered palms." And And that's why, as our epistle lesson this morning says, though he, Christ, was in the form of God, he took on the form of a servant, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He went ahead, going up to Jerusalem through those gates, knowing exactly what awaited him on the other side. The finale to which all of the eighth notes and the quarter notes and the half notes and the whole notes of the divine piece have been written. The final note was what the divine score read, though it was being so misread by everyone else around him, it seems. God forbid that it would be misread by any of us today. In the days of this Holy Week, dear friends, look to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes upon it. Survey it fully. And see in it the finale of all of our sin-caused sorrow. And see in it the only and the true prelude to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us now pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remembering by name in our prayers this day, Rod Broom and Carol Hackbroom grieving the death of Carol's father. Michael Grunau, William Morton, and Benoit Kai, who are homebound or otherwise unable to attend services. We also remember this day the Lutheran Church of Our Savior Board of Directors, and also Wyatt McThrow, the brother of LCOS member Michael McThrow, who is now recovering from recent medical procedures. For these, with these, and for others, we now pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That the faith of the Church of God would remain fixed upon his death for her salvation, that he would enrich the preaching of his gospel, and that he would enliven us to live out our faith in him until he returns in glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That the Lord would uphold the world in his order, that the church would be defended from all enemies, that he would bless our homes, all parents and children, in service toward each other in faith until life's end, and that he would grant all governing authorities with wisdom and integrity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That he would humble us to have a mind like Christ Jesus, to spurn all worldly equality here in this life, and to seek his greater portion in the life of the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That he would look with grace upon the board of directors of Lutheran Church of Our Savior, namely Michael Stevens, Terrence Lung, David Mitby, Michael McThrow, Larry Ristow, David Hall, Juna Kieske, John Slomich, Tim Marting, and Dave Carlson, and bless their labors with his love, his joy, and his peace in each of their respective positions. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That he would look with mercy upon all who grieve the death of dearly loved ones, especially Rod, Carol, and their families. And he would look with mercy upon all who are without the needs of body and soul, the homeless, the hungry, the unemployed, and the unbelieving, and that he would look with mercy upon all who endure suffering in this world, especially Michael Grunau, William Wharton, Benoit Kai, and Wyatt McThrow, that they would not fear, but have their eyes fixed on Jesus as they await the fullness of their salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That as he once entered Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so he would grant to us a worthy reception of him, that we may receive Christ's very body and blood according to his promises, for the forgiveness of our sins, and in the unity of a true confession. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath, but in mercy. And as we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, we pray you to show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.